having a few more dollars to cover additional expenses and costs that go up is critically important. And we believe money well invested by the city and the county.
The process of submitting budget requests from area agencies to local governments is underway. GrowHay's Executive Director Doug Williams talks about their request and the importance of government funding to organizations throughout Northwest Kansas on this episode of the Post Podcast.
This is the time of year when the municipalities, the government agencies do their budgets. June-July timeframe, I think September is when they have to finalize their budgets for 2024. And while that's looking a little bit ahead for us, each year we go before them and explain what our plans are, what we've done in the past year, and what we need to operate. And usually they help us out and give us adequate funding to do what we do.
How's the budget request looking this year? I know, again, you guys are growing. You've been expanding a lot more on your plate this year than in previous years. Are you needing more cash?
Well, a little bit. Last year, we were very fortunate. We made a presentation to Ellis County and to the city of Hayes that we wanted to expand a little bit and add a couple of people. I felt like that would be money well invested on their part. They both stepped up and funded us with additional dollars than they had previously. And it worked out great. You know, the addition of David and James has paid lots of dividends and been great investments for GrowHay's and for the community. If you start looking at some of the things that we've been able to accomplish and grants that we've been able to receive and things. So this year, our requests are pretty much in line. We asked for a little bit more money from the county and the same amount from the city. And we believe that gives us the sufficient amount to operate in 2024.
You know, taking it out to the little bit bigger picture, I think, especially on the county level, I know they've said that they wanted requests to come in the same, and they saw a lot of organizations that didn't do that. Why is it so important for organizations to ask for more? Because that's generally the trend, right? Year over year, it always has to increase a little bit.
Well, obviously, costs have gone up for everybody, including the county. You know, we talk about their mill levy and that kind of thing, and their costs have absolutely gone up, and so have ours. So we, as it relates to the county, we did ask for the same amount this year as we asked for last year. We weren't funded the amount we asked for last year, and we asked for, it's about a $15,000 increase. But the increase is important just from the standpoint of just covering additional costs. You know, we're kind of in an inflationary period here. Not kind of. We are in an inflationary period. And so having a few more dollars to cover additional expenses and costs that go up is critically important. And we believe money well invested by the city and the county.
You know, moving this out to the bigger picture, when these government organizations, and I think about all of Ellis County, and this is the city level and the county level, like Victoria, Ellis included, how important is it that they fund these organizations and GrowHay's included, but like Ellis County Historical Society, I know is a big one, big ask this year, and a lot of like options and those social and civic kind of service organizations. Why is it so important?
Well, those for lots of various reasons. For some of those agencies, some of them provide essential services to our community, like Options or the United Way or different people like that. Others are quality of life issues, whether, for example, the Historical Society, those are quality of life and tourism type investments that communities make. From an economic development standpoint, that's a basic function that governments need to invest in. And typically, they'll either do it themselves, hire their own staff, or they'll pay an organization like ours, they'll fund an organization like ours to perform that function. But economic development is one of those kind of baseline foundational tasks that need to be done in a community. And so that's why it's so important speaking from our perspective that we receive support from local governments. We get about 60 to 65% of our funding comes from local governments. We get about 25 to 30% from the private sector. And then the balance we get via our activities. We do some things. We have an e-community loan portfolio that we service, and we get some servicing fees off of those loans. We get rent at Brief Space, which goes towards our operational costs and other things that we generate some operational income from. But by far and away, the local governments are the biggest contributors to our cost, our operational costs, and are critically important to us.
Doug, you know, understanding that your expertise is Ellis County economic development and Western Kansas kind of in general, I wonder if you want to talk about, is this kind of the norm? Is this the way it goes around the country, or are we an exception in the way we fund our organizations here?
Well, that's a great question. We are a little bit out of the norm because most economic development organizations are funded exclusively by public dollars, by cities, counties, that type of thing. Some venture out and have some private contributions. If you look at other communities comparable to Hayes, if I look at Dodge City as an example, their model is a little bit like ours. They get the majority of their funding from local government, city and county, but they also raise some private money. You look at Garden City, they're exclusively funded by the city and the county, and in their case, the junior college. So different philosophies exist, but we're fairly typical of organizations that are heavily dependent on local governments to fund their operations. And, you know, that's why it's critical that when we make these requests that they hear us, and they have, and that we receive the funding we need to do what we do, which we believe is a critical task for the community.
You know, kind of on the flip side of that, I wonder, what do you tell people that believe or say maybe we shouldn't be funding those things and rather it be a private enterprise or a for-profit corporation rather than a government-funded nonprofit?
Well, I think that when you can share the cost over the community at large, which is what public dollars are, the community is best served. We don't take a significant amount of private funding from any one entity. It's pretty spread over a wider amount. And so you avoid the situations where somebody might think that, well, this organization is paying more and they have an expectation that their needs need to be placed in a higher priority than somebody else's. We don't have that situation. I have heard that said in other communities that such and such invested a lot of money in the economic development organization, and therefore they are beholden to them to look after their interests first and that type of thing. And we take a more community at large perspective and try and help the entire community, whether it's Ellis, Victoria, Hayes, Shinshin, Munger, whomever's in the county. I think that's a distinction between us and perhaps some others who take some private funding, is that ours is widespread. There aren't any individual businesses that contribute more than $2,000 or $3,000 a year as a rule, and that makes a big difference. We're not specifically beholden to any of them. We're thankful for all of them, but we're not beholden to anybody, and we continue to look at the best options for the community as opposed to any one organization, including city, county, or whomever.
You know, as we're still kind of early in this process, the governments are just kind of hearing those initial requests, but I'm wondering if you want to share any thoughts on how it's looking this year in terms of economic, you know, outcomes.
Well, I think we've got, and part of the things I talked about at both the city and the county are exactly that, outcomes, what we've done. And I think if you look at our housing initiatives, we've got a lot of positive things to go over on those. You know, the Heart of America, Tallgrass Edition, by the end of this year, there'll be roughly 54 new homes out there that have taken place over a couple of years' time. We're just getting set to start on the Grove. We're going through the annexation, zoning, and platting process for the Grove. We'll start seeing some activity, certainly in 2024 at the Grove. We did, since James came on last June, we've done 7 e-community loans totaling about $500,000 for 7 different businesses. We service 24, 25 e-community loans for businesses that help them either acquire a business, start a business, or grow their business. And then, of course, the microfactory project is underway and will be complete sometime early 2024. So we had a lot of activity in 2023 and 2022. And we plan to just continue on and fulfill those things and focus on the things that have been impactful to our community.
You know, we talk about housing all the time in this segment and how vital it is for economic development. And I'm wondering if you have a ballpark figure, maybe even over the last 3 to 5 years, like how many houses have you guys had developed or built thanks directly to your efforts?
Well, certainly the Tallgrass addition of the 30, I think there were 37 permits issued last year, single family permits. And 29 of them were in the Tallgrass addition. So that's the large majority. We don't really have any private developers developing land or that type of thing in our community. So we've kind of taken it upon ourselves and our partners like Heart of America to try and fulfill that need in the community. And we continue to do that with the Grove. But we also have helped on the RHID projects for the Frontier Apartment Projects, the former St. Joseph School. We worked with them in getting them an RHID for that project. Michael Graham on an RHID at 4th and Fort, where he's putting up 33 units. Michael is now working on a project, what we call the Depot Project on West 10th, the former site of the train depot, for 48 units. And so we play a role in almost all of those in one way or another. If we're not the actual developer, we're assisting those developers in trying to acquire some incentives that make it cost-effective to do that, because I can assure you that construction now is very expensive and making it work financially is a challenge. And so they need some help here and there, and that's what we're here to help provide them the path, the roadmap to get to those type of incentives.
Excellent. Well, Doug, we're very quickly running out of time. We've got less than a minute left. I wonder if we want to use that time to talk about how is it going down at Brief Space this summer?
Going great. Good occupancy. Lots of stuff going on. We had our quarterly luncheon just last Wednesday, Tuesday. I've lost track of time here. But we had our quarterly luncheon. Network Kansas was in, gave a great presentation, and had a good turnout. And we still have some spots available if people want to come down and check us out. We'd love to have them come down. But other than that, it's going well.